How is everybody this evening? It's evening. Yeah. You guys have a good day? Yeah. Good.
Good. It's not me, the Holy Spirit, so.
Yeah. So I just want to recap a little bit here, because we've been through a bunch of verses in the last little bit. So basically what we've gone through here is Saul defeats the Amalekites, but doesn't exactly go about it the way God had asked him to. And so God rejects him as being king and gives Samuel instruction to travel to Jesse's and anoint David king. So David has been anointed king, and then God orchestrates this supernatural moment where Saul is possessed by a harmful spirit. And in doing that, David and Saul's worlds collide, because God uses David to cast out the spirit. Saul has been moved by David. He's found a light in him, and he has become his armor bearer. And that's where we're sitting. So we're going to move on now to the next chapter. And I'm really excited about this one, because I feel like there's so many people in here, myself included, I struggle with this often, that struggle with this very thing. So I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in our lives. I'm going to jump right into this because it's a little long. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Ezekiah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley in between them. And there came out of the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So it's between 9 and 10 feet. And he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of a son in Bethlehem in Judah to Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in his years. The 3 oldest sons Jesse had followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went into the battle were Eliab, his firstborn, and the next Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take 3 your brothers, some of this grain and these loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting for the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went to greet his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks to the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the man who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him towards another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words of David spoke were heard, he repeated them. They were repeated for Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Here's the thing. In order to have faith, you have to go down into the valley. You have to step off whatever mountain it is that you're on in order to have faith. There's this day in my life that I'll never forget. I was working for a company at the time. Awesome job. Loved it so much. Worked 40 hours a week, 8 to 5. Didn't really require much faith, to be honest. I went in, did my work, got paid, done. Before I went to work that day, my wife said to me, "Can you go and get some diapers on your way home? Because we've run out of diapers. And, you know, if we run out of diapers, kids are going to poop on the floor." Right? So, don't want that. So, I'm like, okay, no problem. So, I go to Walmart on my lunch break. Go into Walmart. And being a guy, I don't like to spend lots of money on things like diapers. So, I always went for the cheaper ones. Go down in the diaper aisle. And they don't have the diapers in my size. Well, not my size. I mean, my daughter's size at the time. Not my size. I don't wear them. So they don't have them. And I'm like, oh, come on. This is annoying. You know, now after work, I got to go all the way across London. And London's, it's a lot bigger than Timmins. Let's put it that way. I got to go drive all the way across to the other Walmart to see if they've got them. So after work, I go across town. Go into the other Walmart, go down the diaper aisle, and boom, they have the size of diapers that I need to buy for my daughter, not for me. So go in, get the diapers. As I'm walking out of Walmart, God places something in me. He places in my stomach the need to consume nachos. And you're probably thinking, no, God doesn't do that. But he did. And here's why. Because I got the nachos at Walmart. But then I'm like, that salsa here is way too expensive. It is way too expensive. I'm not spending that much on salsa. So I had to go next door to the No Frills to get the salsa that I really like. You know, the PC brand with the corn and the black beans. So good. So good. And so I go over there to No Frills, and I'm walking through the noodle aisle. Sorry, pasta aisle. I'm walking through the pasta aisle, and around the corner comes this man. And he's like short, and he's got like a limp, and he looks like he's struggling, to be completely honest. Comes around the corner. He's like, "Hey, do you know where the Mr. Noodle is?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I don't work here, but I know where it is. So come follow me." So I show him where the Mr. Noodle is. And I'm like, "Did you know that you can buy 12 packages of Mr. Noodle for $3.99. And he looks at me and he's like, "Yeah, I know. But I can't afford 12 packages of Mr. Noodle." And my mind was just like blown. Like, who in London, Ontario can't afford 12 packages of Mr. Noodle? $3.99, that's not very much money. So then he goes on to tell me that him and his family, they've immigrated from Africa, somewhere in Africa. And he can't get work. And they're living in low-income housing. And he's got 5 kids. And every day, he just goes out to just see if he can get food. He'll just go and he'll ask anybody, "Hey, can I do something for you for money? Or, you know, can you help me out?" or whatever. And he promises his wife and his kids that every day he'll bring home food for them to eat. So this guy, he's going through a rough time. So he proceeds to tell me, "If I don't have $60 by Monday, me and my family are going to be evicted from our home." We had a 2-hour conversation before I decided that I was going to help him out. That's pretty embarrassing, to be completely honest. And this guy, he was legit. Like, this guy wasn't pulling my leg. Okay, I went to where he lives, met his family, he was telling the most, straight up honest truth. It took me 2 hours to decide whether I was going to give this guy $60. Now, at the time, I only had $120 in my bank account, but I had a paycheck coming. It was actually tax time, so when you're 18, you get a tax return, hopefully. So I knew that I had something coming. I knew I was going to have money, but it took me so long to decide whether I was going to help this man. So I gave him the $60, went home, telling my wife about it, and then I went to my workplace the next day, and I was like, "Guys, I had this experience the other day, and I just wanted to tell you about it. Met this man, told him the story. It took me so long to decide whether I was going to help him or not. And, I just feel so embarrassed about that. You know, we should do a better job, helping people that need help, you know? You know, and we're always like, well, you never know, they might be lying about it. Or, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And really, it's you know, well, we need to protect our money. But, that's not for you to determine. Because if you go about that, eventually it's going to become an excuse. Eventually it will. For the rest of your life, you're going to say, oh, no, can't get money then. They're probably lying. And all this kind of stuff. You know, it becomes an excuse. Here's the other part of the story. In 2 weeks, I was fully resigned from my job. And I knew that over the summer, I was going to be short to cover our bills. I knew that. I looked ahead to everything that, all the music events that I had coming up and speaking events, and I'm like, I'm going to be short. But I just kind of gave it to God and just trusted Him. I said, you know what? God, I'm just going to give this to you. I'm just going to trust you with it. I know you're going to provide. I know you're gonna come through. So on the last day of work, I walked out to my car. And underneath my windshield wiper was an envelope. Take the envelope out from under the windshield wiper, and I opened the car door of my car, thinking this is a little weird. Maybe I should have called the bomb squad or something. Open the door of the car. And as I sit down in my seat,
boom!
Sorry. No. No, didn't happen. That didn't happen. No. As I sit down in my seat, I open. So sorry. Are you okay? I open the envelope, and inside of it is $1,000 cash, which was exactly what I needed. Now, you can say all you want that that's a coincidence, but I'm going to tell you that is not a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. There's no way that anybody on this planet that can convince me that when I stepped out in faith, that there just so happened to be $1,000 underneath my windshield wiper to provide for my needs. No one can tell me that. This is what I know. I know that there's somebody that's watching out for me. I know that. And when we step out in faith, and when we trust God, He's going to provide for all of our needs. In order to step out in faith, you have to step into the valley. Because the Philistines, in verse 3, they stood on the mountaintop. Israel, they stood on the mountaintop. Why did they stand on the mountaintop? Because they felt safe. They could see what was coming. They could look down and they could see if anybody was coming up. They could see far, they could see wide. They felt safe. That's why they stayed there. Once you go down into the valley, it's darker, you're more vulnerable, because that's where the battle's going to happen. You can't see what's coming in the valley. You can't. And so I knew that when I stepped out in faith and I left my job and I decided that I was going to do this at the time, that I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know from time to time how I was going to feed my family. I didn't know that. And sometimes I still don't know that. But what I did know is that even though I was in the valley, even though I was in the unknown, that God was with me. You know? If you're always on the mountain, you don't need faith because you can see. But once you're in the middle of the battle, you need it. You remember the story I told you guys this morning with my eyes? I'll tell you something. I did not plan on that happening. I didn't plan on that happening. You know, it was painful. It wasn't something I wanted, but it happened. So I cried out to God, even though I couldn't see. And I trusted that He was going to heal my eyes. That's why you need to walk by faith. Because no matter how hard you try, you're going to find yourself in the valley. No matter how hard you try, you're going to find yourself there. You're going to find yourself in the middle of the battle. And that battle, it might come in the form of depression. It may come in a form of anxiety. Maybe in the form of hate. Maybe in the form of fear. Or maybe you're being bullied at school. Or maybe your parents see you as an inconvenience. Maybe some of your parents do. Maybe you don't feel loved. But let me tell you something. Those giants that you're facing in your life right now, they may be big. They may be strong. You may feel that they are overcoming you, but I can tell you this, that God is bigger than your depression. God's bigger than your anxiety. God's bigger than your hate. He's bigger than your fear. He's bigger than whatever it is that you're going through. He's bigger than it. He's stronger than it. He's greater than it. And He is the one that can give you freedom from whatever that is. You know what? Oftentimes, the one thing that causes us not to step out in faith is our fear. It's our fear. If you're afraid of whatever it is that you're going through, you don't need to be. You don't need to be. Because whatever it is, whatever that giant is in your life, God's greater than it. You just have to trust Him. That's all you have to do. And you have to believe that He has a plan for whatever it is that you're going through. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says this. And He said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle, it's not yours. It's God's. He's the one that made you. You didn't make yourself. You didn't just magically appear here. Someone made you with a purpose and a plan for your life. And so that battle that you're going through, He knows it. He knows you. He knows your name. And He's going to help you through it. He's in the valley with you. Verse 11, Israel was afraid. Verse 24, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? They were afraid because of this. They were letting what they could see consume their life. The sight of the giant that they were looking at, it scared them. They were not letting faith guide them. The fear of the giant was controlling their response to stand up for their country, to stand up for their families, to stand up for their friends. They were just standing there, just afraid, just scared. They knew what they had to do, but they were too afraid to do it. I want to ask you this question. Are you allowing fear to control your life? Are you allowing faith to control your life? In verse 26, David had the strength to say, "Who is this Philistine that he would defile the armies of the living God?" The one person that was the least likely to stand up to Goliath did. God may have something similar in store for you. You may feel inadequate to stand up to that. You may feel inadequate to stand up to the giant. But maybe God has it planned that you would. Ask yourself the question now, would you do it? Would you have faith to do it? Or would you run the other way in fear? You want to know why David fought Goliath? Because he knew that God was with him. That's why. And it you know, it's funny. Because it appears to me that David didn't have any fear at all. And if he did, he didn't show it. Not only was he standing up to Goliath, He was telling all the armies of Israel what they should do. It's like, guys, what are you doing standing here on the mountain? Go fight him. He's been here for 40 days and 40 nights. If you won't do it, I will. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this: for we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be afraid of the things that you see. They might be scary. They may be big challenges. But God is greater than whatever it is. You don't have to be afraid. He's going to guide you. You know, if He's guiding you, then you're strong. I'll tell you this story. I promise my wife's not making me tell a story. She reminded me of it. So I'm like, hey, that fits really well. Because there is a day where I lacked faith. And it's just a little simple story. Got in the car, drove off. And as we got in the car, my wife got in the car, she dropped her cell phone out of the car. So we're driving for a bit and she's like, I think I dropped my cell phone out of the car. And I'm like, oh, hon, it's long gone. It's not going to be there. So, you know, just, it's fine. We'll just get you a new one. Like, whatever. And my wife, with all her wisdom, she's like, no. No, honey. Don't you do that. No, I'm just kidding. My wife doesn't do that. This is what she said. She said, God knows we can't afford to get a new one. It'll be there when we get back. So I'm like doubting the whole way. I'm like, nah, someone probably took it. And I'm like trying to like cover up. I'm trying to cover up my like, you know, insecurities and like she might be right. If she's right, I'm wrong. And like my lack of faith. I'm like trying to cover it up on the way back like this. Like, well, I mean, like, you know, it might be there, but probably not. I mean, someone probably took it, right? Like, I mean, God could do it. I mean, it could still be there, but probably not. And sure enough, we pull up, and it's there. And my wife hops out of the car, and she picks up the phone, and she hops back in the car, and she's just like, I told you so. I'm like, yeah, you did. Wow, God's so great, isn't He? You know, that's a hilarious, like, it's funny, right? That's one of those, like, wife proves husband wrong kind of stories. And, you know, I learned from that one, right? But as I conclude, I want to give you guys these words. You guys want to, like, bow and close your eyes and just close your eyes. Let's all like stop chatting, you know, just for this last little bit. There's no one in this room that can make you walk by faith. That's something that you need to decide on your own. But I can tell you this. It's impossible to win the battle from the top of the mountain when the battle's taking place in the valley. If David did not step out in faith, Goliath probably would not have been defeated. Here's why. Because it was God's plan that David would have defeated Goliath. God chose to use him to fulfill His purpose. I've said it time and time again this weekend. God has a plan for your life. The question is, will you trust Him? Will you step into the battle? Will you believe that God's plan is greater than yours? Or will you allow fear to control whether you live in God's will for your life? Because I can tell you this, it is God's will that you step out in faith. He wants that for every single one of us. And in doing that, we can all make a huge difference in the lives of those around us. And we can defeat the giants in our lives. God, thank you so much for standing with us in this fight. God, thank you so much for giving us the faith to step down from the mountaintop into the valley. Thank you for fighting alongside of us to defeat these giants in our lives. God, I just pray that every single young person in this room, from this moment forward, would have faith like they've never had before. I just pray that they'd trust you more than they ever have before. That whatever it is that they may be facing, at home, at school, whatever it is, I pray that you would, that they would know that you are with them. That they would know that with your help, you are strong enough to overcome it in their lives. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.